You're now listening to a Flawless Noises Media Network production.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ratchet Rambling Podcast presented to you by Flawless Noises Media. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy. My AKA for today is, I'm sure glad Ron Dixon isn't here, because Robin, you ain't even. And as usual, I'm joined by my friends and my co-hosts.
Hey, everybody. It's Candace, not so newlywed PC on all social media. Lightly seasoned, heavily fired is my AKA for today. You know, toodaloo, Eneka, toodaloo, Robin Dixon. Juan was already gone. He don't show up for work, whether it's coaching or being on reality TV. One thing Juan Dixon gonna do is give us nothing but give outside bitches all a dick. That's what Juan Dixon gonna do. Okay. Our third amigo and our resident legal counsel is here. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, y'all. This is Adrian, AKA I'm pregnant and now y'all ain't got no storyline.
So, I mean,
lock in.
We gonna get to it. Adrian, let me say, as I've been watching Summer House, we watch a lot of reality TV. We do. We watch a lot of reality TV, a lot of Black reality TV. But I just want to say, I've never seen a more performative, dramatic group of niggas than these niggas. Everything is so fucking melodramatic. What? It's like going to a stage play that never fucking stops. Like, everybody just wakes up and gets into character and starts performing while the cameras are rolling. And the thing is, none of the shit that they are arguably upset about is really that fucking deep. That's what makes it so entertaining, to watch people make quite literal mountains out of molehills. First of all, what's the one who had the restraining order on her?
Shanice,
listen, all that goddamn hemming and hawing about you being Googled, that's why we should consider our actions before we start stalking and doing things that get us hit with restraining orders. Because that was public information about you, and being pissy that your housemates, who really didn't know you like that, Googled you and found that information and was like, be easy, because once you give her the dick, she get crazy. It is what it is. Talking about her life was ruined because he Googled her. Yes. She had a whole She had a whole fucking meltdown about how her life was ruined because Alex Googled her.
Well, I don't like Alex, so I'm gonna be on Shanice's side.
I don't really care for any of the men on this show except for the gay one. What's his name?
Preston.
I wanted to call him Winston. I like Preston, but the straight men on this show leave a lot to be desired. And I felt like that since season one. I felt like that in season one. They left a lot to be desired in season one. They were weird. We're doing weird shit trying to decide who gets which woman in the house when none of the women made it known that they were feeling any of them. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're nearly as attractive as they think they are.
Definitely agree.
And so, you know, it's like, fuck Alex, but Shanice, you're doing a bit much. You're in the same boat with Jordan at this point to me, but they are just really, really dramatic. Bria has had her baby. Not Bria, Jasmine. Jasmine has had her baby. Congratulations to her. Oh God, y'all gonna be like, you're a fucking hater for saying this, but I'm interested in seeing how long this marriage will last now that there is a child in the mix. Because he acted like a child before she had a child. So I'm interested to see how he's going to carry on now that her primary focus will be on motherhood.
I don't think he's going to get better, but I don't think she's going to leave. This is even more of a lock-in.
Yeah, this is...
This coverage.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, a meal ticket. Yeah. It's even more of a meal ticket. And it's even more of a way for him to control her. because now not only is he controlling her financially, he is controlling their household financially and taking care of her. And now she gets to be a stay-at-home mom and things like that. And so I wish I could say I hope she has, you know, making plans and figuring out how to not be completely reliant on Silas, but she is not, she wasn't smart enough to do that before the baby came into play. So she's certainly not going to do it now. But that's yeah, these, fun. This is a dramatic ass cast of fucking people, boy, I tell you what, but I like it. Let me say that. I like it.
I do. Cause it's organic. It seems more, and I'm gonna use their word, authentic than other shows that we watch, like because they're fighting over such small silly stuff, but it seems like stuff that friends would fight over, so I don't get annoyed. I get annoyed at how they talk when they're upset with each other, but not the actual conflict.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It doesn't feel it feels organic, and it's like you say, it's so small that there's no way it's not real, especially compared to what we've been seeing on other reality TV shows across Bravo, OWN, and otherwise. Our biggest complaint is that a lot of the drama has felt fabricated and manipulated by production. This doesn't feel that way. This feels like youngish, I'm not gonna say super young because they're not that young, but it feels like youngish professional Black people who are just trying to figure it out and live up to unrealistic expectations, and they're just navigating that. Like, they're so busy trying to be Black excellence, and I'm not my grandparent, these hands move, a lot of the shit that they go through is petty. And so that I am enjoying it. And it is a breath of fresh air compared to what we have just finished wrapping up with Real Housewives of Potomac and Real Housewives of Atlanta and Married to Medicine and so on and so forth. I can say that Summer House, Martha's Vineyard is definitely a brush of it's fresh air. Mm-hmm. Bold and Bougie. Come on, Adrian.
I wanted to. It was one thing with Summer House.
Go ahead.
But I think we might have talked about it. It was with Summer and Shanice. No, I think we talked about that when she called her the worst dress, even though she knew her situation. We did talk about that, right?
No, we didn't. We didn't talk about it.
We did now. I mean, I'm with Shanice's mom. I probably would have fought her. Like, you know my situation. So you should be the last one to say, and the question wasn't for her. So it's not like the question was for you. You had to have an answer. You jumped in to volunteer her name.
Yeah.
Summer's an undercover mean girl.
Yep.
She's an undercover mean girl. And that was mean.
That's why I said all this Blackness that they perform in, a lot of it is an act, because again, very trivial things like, oh, she can't dress and this, that, and the third, but knowing what her circumstances are and still trying to pile on or still trying to take digs and shit like that, that is not the definition of Black excellence. It's really not.
At all.
And I know Jeremy might start praise dancing when I say this, but a lot of people who perform that Black excellence bullshit lean heavily into capitalism. Mm-hmm. And it shows. A lot of the performance is surrounding capitalism and racist talking points and shit like that. And so you really are not undoing anything when you are performing, you know, whiteness. And to me, shit, that is whiteness. Like, and maybe it's because I've gotten older, but I just don't care how somebody actually dresses, especially not somebody in my friend group. Especially if I know this, like the circumstances for maybe their fashion choices or their decisions or what they can afford or what they have going on. It's just not one of those things that's that serious to me. And my other thing for Summer is, if you felt like if she dressed so awful, why wasn't you putting a few pieces in her closet?
But also, Shanice brags about talking to all these men. So if you're talking to all these men, why are we having closet problems?
Yeah. If you
I mean, it's not a, there's not a price on it, but it shouldn't be free, is all I'm gonna say.
If you got niggas in your pocket, then the pocketbook should have some money in it.
Niggas, and she doesn't dress bad. Like, I've looked at her since then. She dressed very basic, but they're on vacation. Like,
yep.
So I don't. So Summer did that. Summer did that for a reason. And I wonder if there's like footage that maybe got cut with Alex talking to Shanice, like a kind of alone-ish. Because that's what that seems like.
Yeah, I agree.
And why is everybody chasing Alex? Well, I guess when you're in a limited house, I guess.
Like,
I guess.
Alex.
But Noelle played like, her.
He's
so.
Not even at a. The only one that even is remotely attractive is the one with the white mama from the Middle East.
Amir?
Yeah. Amir is my he's the most attractive. He ain't hella fine. But the rest of them are
average
at best.
I mean, they're not grotesque or anything. Like, they're just average. Like, oh, okay, he's there, he's got a face. Okay.
It's like if you walk past him in the street, you wouldn't do a double take like, damn, he fine.
Yeah, no, definitely not bad.
Like, if a friend, if your friend showed you him and was like, hey girl, this the guy I'm talking to, and you'd be like, if he wanted, you'd be like, okay girl, I'll see you. But that would be the extent of it. So yeah, it's, yeah. And and Alex in that fucking goatee is very bothersome. I hate that fucking goatee. And his ankles is always out. Put your goddamn ankles
like a DC
up.
Villain.
Like he should be on Luke Cage.
Yeah. Yes. Nigga Cage.
Goatee Cage. Listen.
So I want to know, what are y'all thoughts on how Bria reacted to Mariah coming?
She overreacts, in my opinion.
Okay.
It was a bit
okay.
She overreacts, in my opinion. She, have you ever met somebody, like, maybe even as an adult or when you were a kid, and they always tried to make it seem like they were so mature, and every time they got an opportunity to show you that maturity, they acted like a fucking kid? That's Bria to me. Like, Bria she's an adult in age and legality, but Bria, to me, even in the first season, she always is very immature. Like, even when she was getting into it with the foreign white boyfriend, just constant overreaction. Like, everything doesn't need to be a spectacle. Like, can she have a problem with Mariah coming? Sure. Do it need to be a gross overreaction? No.
But do I really think she has a problem with Mariah coming? No. Do I really even think she wanted to send Mariah home? Okay, let's start at the kind of the beginning. From last season, I don't understand how she can be okay with being there with Summer, and Summer smacked her.
Smacked.
She got into a fight. She got into a fight with Summer.
Smack fire out her.
And all Mariah did was shove some clothes into her chest. Now knowing that Amir is the one that did the thing that started this whole thing. But just like last season, she didn't want Mariah to go home last season because of what happened. She wanted Mariah to go home because they were sending Phil home.
Yep.
And it's the same thing this year. She now has a problem with Mariah coming because everyone is saying, hell no, Phil can't come here.
Yep. That's exactly.
So that's my issue. And Phil is a messy bitch, because why are you, oh, well, Mariah already got her ticket. Why are we acting like plane tickets can't be canceled? Why are we acting like that?
Yep.
So that really got on my nerve. And then Jordan, I don't think you guys are sympathizing with how she might feel. She don't really feel like that. If she can get over things with Summer and Summer smack fire out of her ass, her and Mariah can come to a civil point.
Yep, absolutely. Wasn't Phil the one that shitted in somebody's toilet or some shit?
Yeah. He shitted in somebody's toilet, tried to fight all the men that were on the show. Like, Phil came in horribly.
Yeah. Being known as the nigga who was taking a slookie in everybody's toilet.
It's crazy.
Why would you even want to come back? Mm-mm. Yeah, I think Bria definitely is is being weird. And I don't think, like you said, Adrian, I don't think she has no real beef with Mariah other than she's trying to leverage their past issues because the group doesn't want Phil back in the house. And rightfully so, Phil was being fucking weird. Mariah was not being weird. Mariah had a very real gripe. She could have handled it better, but ultimately she didn't smack piss out you. And why not have smoke for Amir? Like this time, nigga, don't put my fucking dog stuff in the dryer with nobody else shit, please. I don't want no smoke. But yeah, don't nobody want nobody in the house who just blow up the toilet and fight every fucking body. Come on now. Phil came in really hot and really weird. But yeah, Bria is somebody who constantly overreacts and she annoys me greatly. I'm just going to be honest. Bold and Bougie. Now, let me ask you, Adrian, do you think it was canceled prematurely?
Oh, damn, it's canceled?
Yeah, it's canceled. It's not coming back.
Yeah, I do. Very rarely do you come off with a first season of a show like this where it didn't seem like any of them were really friends. They may have known each other through association. So I think it's kind of unfair for you to be putting a cast together that wasn't like already friends or already associated and then giving them one season.
Yeah.
I think especially, they at least deserve two.
Or at least a reunion.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a reunion.
We're not getting anything. It's only 8 episodes. Like I said, I feel like before it was canceled, and hopefully Carlos will try to shop it elsewhere. Like you said, shows like this, you kind of got to build them up. And you can't build a complete body of work in one season with 8 episodes and no reunion. Especially when we're talking about older women and women that may be known in social scenes around Atlanta. But as a whole, the world doesn't really know these women. We know mostly Tamika Raymond and Malaysia from Basketball Wives. But the rest of these women, we don't really know. So they need some character development. Like when we think of, let's take Basketball Wives, for example, how many seasons of Basketball Wives did it take for us to fully get to know Evelyn, Jen, Royce, and Susie? And to the point where we got spinoffs and stuff like that. It took more than one season. Very rarely do you get a phenomenon like Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, where much like Love and Marriage Huntsville, something very, very pure lined up with the stars organically. And we got Stevie J, Jocelyn, and Mimi. Turned around and we got Kirk, Rashida, and this outside baby. Love and Marriage Huntsville, we ended up getting Martell and his mistress and Mel. And like, that is not the norm for reality TV shows. It usually takes a season or two for it to really establish itself. So I hope Carlos is shopping it elsewhere, because I would watch a second season of Bold and Bougie. You got the perfect unlikable villain in Tamika.
And Gaucher.
You got Princess. You got Malaysia. And I feel like if you added in like one other person, you would be really good.
I feel like they should add, what is her name? Dr. Princess, the lady that's the King of Diamonds.
Oh, okay.
I think she would have been good, like, on the cast.
And I'm gonna be honest, Malaysia is just unlikable. She's beautiful and unlikable. I don't even like her on this show either. Not like want her fired, not liking her, but some about her personality is just very off-putting.
She's just kind of boring to me. She's just boring to me on the show.
Which is the same rep she had on Basketball.
Which I think she's so boring because she fights so hard to try to maintain a sense of privacy. And newsflash, Sweet Pea, you can't be doing reality TV shows and want to have privacy. You've got to be transparent. That's what makes your storyline. Especially if you're trying to get from under the thumb of Basketball Wives.
Now, they're going to
laugh at you for being a flop. You ran from Basketball Wives to this other show just to be the same boring flop you always been, and it's canceled too. You got to let us in.
Yeah, I feel like at some point Malaysia turned into one of those, I'm going to be on reality TV, but I hate reality TV people. And I'm sorry, as thick as you are, that's not enough to let it slide, beloved.
Not as thick as you.
Listen, if Malaysia does nothing else, she gonna show up, be boring, and be thick as they old rich. Those are the three constants in life. Malaysia gonna be boring, she gonna be pretty, and she gonna be thick.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like it was the season of Basketball Wives when what's her name? Shit. It was the whole thing with her cousin and
the one she fought.
Now, I'm so mad that I'm
because that one was good.
I'm so mad that I'm blanking on it now. But when
you said cousin,
Shit, what's his name? Byron Scott, the head coach.
Oh, CeCe. And,
yes, I feel like it was that season where Malaysia like turned into this person where it's like I'm gonna be on reality TV. But I hate reality TV. I'm gonna be closed off, and it's like,
oh, when the cousin was getting into it with CeCe,
and basically like being mad weird, like that's not your actual whole ass family, and like I feel like that season, or maybe it might have been the one before, but I feel like that season is when Malaysia really turned into this like anti reality TV person and got like so private. When she was already,
isn't that when she started going through her divorce?
Yeah, she was okay. Already facing the boring allegations. Because remember, even Shawnee like talked to her about that. Like she was already facing the boring allegations, and then that stuff happened, and she got even more private. And it's like you can't. That's fine, but you also can't be on reality TV because unfortunately, that kind of comes with the territory of you being open.
I think Malaysia shut down when it started hitting social media that all those years of dealing with Gennaro Pargo and his cheating, and she walked away from that marriage with nothing. And then the rumors started swirling about her fucking Jamal Bryant and her putting her and the kids in the house, and then that house ended up going into foreclosure, which we saw kind of play out on Basketball Wives, but they didn't say a name, but the rumor mill basically said it was Jamal Bryant. I don't know how true it is. It's alleged. But I think that she got embarrassed. And the thing is, you can thrive on reality TV by leaning into things that people will use to embarrass you. If you pull the trigger on your own shit first, can't nobody embarrass you about it? Because it would have been a cold day in hell before I let Jennifer fucking Williams, who got a drink thrown in her goddamn face by a nigga with a knot on his fucking head, then turned around and was knee deep involved with a goddamn murderer with hips and is now engaged to a well-known fucking scammer. It would be a cold day in hell before that bitch can embarrass me about being motherfucking broke. You have sold your soul for goddamn money.
And speaking of people who would not be able to tell me shit, Andrea Kelly can't speak to me about shit and my soul and picking the wrong man. She can't. When I saw that, I said, I know you fucking lying to me. Now, she can teach me how to dance.
She can't even teach me how. That bitch choreography scare me. She is an old freaky fucking auntie, man. Like, oh my God, bitch, go do some samba or something. What happened to the Lorianne Gibson boom cat 1-2 steps and shit? You is being too freaky, too nasty. Your nipples is got always motherfucking hard in them leotards. You about need to be in jail too. That bitch scare me. And she always wearing socks with ballroom heels. I don't want to play.
She dance like she doing Tekken combos.
She dance like her pussy itching, like she got a yeast infection.
All right.
You know, like you like if you got an itch, but you don't want to scratch it in front of nobody. She dance like her butt itch, and she scared to scratch it in front of somebody. She's a great looking woman for her age, but you are so right, Adrian. The last bitch to give me advice on anything would be the Pied Piper's ex-wife, and I really mean it. Okay, absolutely fucking not.
That's the word.
Speaking of nasty work,
I
watched the reunion for Love and Marriage DC. I watched part one of the reunion, and I don't like Joy and Clifton. Okay, they are the worst type of people to me. They are people who wait to puff their chest out when they have an audience. I remember Clifton calling Quick asking, was shit all good? Because he wasn't trying to disrespect Ashley and he ain't meant no disrespect. And it was just a miscommunication and things got out of hand. Just for you to get on that fucking reunion stage and be talking about how you will beat Quick ass. Now, let me tell you, a lot of people had a misconception that big motherfuckers can fight. But if you know, like we know, the bigger they are, the harder they what?
Oh.
We have seen big motherfuckers get beat up all around the motherfucking world.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Clifton a bitch. And I mean that.
I feel like we've been calling Clifton a bitch for 87
We have been calling Clifton a bitch. He a big bitch.
True.
He is. He's a big bitch. And I say that because there is never any reason for you as a man to be arguing back and forth with a woman and your wife standing right there to do the arguing on her own behalf. It just ain't. And you waited to argue with Ashley until her husband was out the room. Your nuts wasn't even hanging low enough for you to try to argue with that woman while her husband was in that room. And we have said it, and it bears repeating, that Quick's name rings a lot of bells in the DC area. They do. He's well respected in DC.
I would not even say outside of DC.
Yeah, outside. Not a single soul has ever come forward to utter a fucked up word about Quick or play him like he nobody sucker. And
like niggas know Quick.
Yeah, and I respect the fact that Quick stays out of them women's bullshit. He do. We have not seen Quick arguing back and forth on social media with Arena or Joy when Ashley and Winter was into it. He don't get into their business like that. He had a problem with Clifton. He addressed Clifton. Clifton said it wasn't no problem. It was a miscommunication. He left it alone. That's what a man is supposed to do. That's what a man's supposed to do. He's supposed to clear shit up. The other part is, I didn't realize, and I did some digging, that Quick and Ashley have a lot of prominent business ventures throughout the DMV. I didn't know they own multiple nightclubs. She got online boutiques. He has part ownership in some type of wrestling thing and all kind of shit. What do he stand to gain by beating up Clifton, who just started a unisex beard oil? First of all, unisex beard oil is fucking crazy. But anyways, a beard oil company that is not properly trademarked, that is not FDA approved or anything. This motherfucker is mixing olive oil and coconut oil in the kitchen talking about he got a beard oil. Take your nigga butters and go on some fucking way.
Nigga butters is crazy.
Take them filthy nigga butters and get the fuck on.
That combination reminds, what's the damn chef that was mixing Hennessy and watermelon? What's the nigga name?
Oh, Darius Crooks.
Yes, yes, yes. This motherfucker's Darius Crooks of beer butter and shit.
Not the scam's niece's nemesis.
Arch nemesis.
Arena and Jamie. I'm so glad that Jamie finally felt comfortable enough to own up to the fact that he's a retired pig, because Lord knows you spent those first two seasons trying to act like you was just the world's best party promoter. Whole time you was a fucking undercover cop in there trying to see who had one marijuana on him.
Exactly.
You're a fucking pig and a narc
and a bitch ass nigga.
A bitch ass nigga. And then you get on this show, and shout out, one thing I can say about Ashley, right, wrong, or indifferent, Ashley's gonna be transparent about the shit she has going on. The fact that we find out that Jamie's whole beef with Ashley is because he lied on her and said that Ashley called him an alcoholic. Whole time, Ashley never called him an alcoholic. Tried to defend the fact that he wasn't an alcoholic. She even said, he's not no alcoholic. He just an asshole. She even said, I drink more than Jamie. Shit. Then this man that's going around telling people that he fucked your wife. And Ashley is like, yo, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. Especially when you don't have no receipts. Like, taking up for Ashley and Arena, and just to try to weaponize her mental illness against her to be saying shit about their kids, to be speaking negatively on Quick and all this, and it was all based on a lie. But what did we say? He act just like a cop. If a police officer ain't gonna do shit else, what they gonna do? Be fucking liars.
Once a pig, always a pig.
Like, you the worst type of pork to have on a motherfucker fork. You a lying ass, dirtball ass cop. Whole time you wouldn't lie to get your son out that goddamn drug charge. Fucking weird. And a loser. Also, it's funny how the tables turn, because I'll be honest, I did not foresee Carmen turning heel on fucking Joy and Clifton. I did not see that happening. But Carmen definitely came out and said Joy is not only is that not her best friend, but Joy is a liar who don't hold herself accountable. She likes to throw rocks and hide her fucking hands, much like what Ashley said about her all season long.
True.
Yeah.
And Arena didn't say, I understand why Arena wants to be the HBIC on this show. When Monique and Chris left and she saw an opening, and she is trying to get from under Jamie's thumb.
I see
the vision, Arena. You are a lonely housewife who spent 20 plus years married to a fucking cop who we have seen in real time treat you and y'all kids fucking terrible. This is probably the most freedom you have ever fucking had, and since you've been married to that ugly motherfucker.
To freedom! Now, I do see the vision. My question I propose to both of my friends, do you think she has the chops to be the HBCI?
No, she's not good at it.
Okay, I'm glad we understand.
She's not good at it. If you to even think about being an HBIC on this show, you gotta be able to wrangle your goddamn husband. Mm. He trying to out HBIC you. He want to be the head bitch in charge on the show.
Head pig in charge.
He trying to outsass the sassies. No, I don't think she really has it in her, because she can't even wrangle fucking Jamie. He talked to her any kind of fucking way. How you gonna go toe-to-toe with the other women on the show and your husband? We can roll footage of your husband telling you to shut the fuck up and stop crying so much. No. No, she can't be the HBIC. As long as this franchise is going, it's gonna be Ashley. Because Ashley Silva, right, wrong, indifferent, good or bad, perfect or flawed, is transparent and stands up in her shit.
She's staying on business.
Yeah.
Now, that business might be wrong as fuck, but she's staying on business.
Yeah. So, yesterday, the third part of Real Housewives of Potomac reunion aired. And
these bitch.
The fact that it's three parts of this.
On the heels of that, we had some announcements. So, Robin announced that she was fired. We already knew Candace was leaving. There was speculation that she was either leaving to embark on her pregnancy journey or divorce Chris. She announced her pregnancy on the same day Robin let us know she was fired. It is being rumored that Aneka is not returning. And so now that we have all of that out the way, the first thing I want to say is when Monique and Candace had it out, I remember when, if nothing else, Megamind Darby with the bad bunions on her feet has been consistent in saying that Candace's mouth lands her in a world of trouble every fucking time. She has been consistent in that.
Which would take one to know one, but yes.
Yes. So when Monique and Candace had their physical altercation, I remember Giselle and Slinky Neck, Giselle and Slow Neck Robin saying that Candace's mouth had nothing to do with Monique assaulting Candace, and that it was irreprehensible and it was god awful for anybody, because Karen said the same thing. Karen maintained that Candace egged that situation on. Candace was combative. She was, you know, trying to get under Monique's skin, and when Monique popped off, she started crying. And remember, Candace and Karen were into it pretty heavy after it, that next season, after Monique left the show.
Yep, because I remember Candace saying that you trying to play both sides, and Karen, you know, not granted, You can say what you want about Cam, but the North remembers, the nigga remembers that season she said, hey, it wasn't cool for her to put her hands on you, but also, girl, you got a mouth on you. Yep. And we've been telling you that you got a mouth on you.
Yep.
To go even further, this was makes it so, because I remember it was either that reunion or the one after it where they rolled the footage. Well, Andy even made a comment about both Candace on the show and her social media that she does have a mouth on her, and she owned it. She was like, yeah, I know.
Andy so asked her, does her mouth, how has it been working out for you when you are constantly a nightmare on social media and otherwise? I'm about to bring it full circle. Now that the Green Eyed Bandits are no longer friends with Candace, they agree that her mouth exacerbates these type of situations.
Funny how that worked.
And I honestly wish that Candace and Monique had hashed out their differences in another way and had not let Giselle and Robin play two against the middle, because they never truly gave a fuck about Candace. She was a means to get Monique off of this goddamn show. And in this season, yet again, where Candace was on the receiving end of a physical altercation, they agree that her mouth plays a role in these situations. Now, do I agree? It depends, because I am from the era of talk shit, get hit. Okay. That's from the era I'm from. I'm from the era where words mean things, and people have been slapped in their mouth for much less than Candace has said to some of the women, some of these women on this show. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm a country nigga from the South. So I have been the person that has talked shit and got hit, and people have talked shit to me and I punched them in the goddamn face. So,
hey. Yeah. And so, however, looking at this group of women, I am of the complete and utter belief that if these women want to fight amongst themselves, that is on them. Okay. However, an outsider who is not a cast and has not even been relegated as a friend of the show, it should absolutely be a zero tolerance policy for an outsider to come in and think they can do physical harm to any woman on this show. If the tables had been turned and Wendy or Candace had invited somebody to an event that they knew had a problem with Robin or Giselle, and that person ended up assaulting Robin or Giselle, I would be calling for those women to, I would be calling for Candace or Wendy to be removed from the show. You don't get to bring people on this show knowing that they have ill intentions to do harm to your cast members, to your coworkers. I would feel the same way, and I can't stand Robin and Giselle. Ashley should be fired. Ashley's contract should not be renewed. Ashley played an integral role in Deborah showing up to try to harm Candace and ultimately harming Kiarna, and she should be held accountable for it. She knew what the fuck she was doing. And I do not want to keep hearing her lie about she didn't know that was going to happen. You knew that ugly light-skinned bitch was coming to fight.
Haven't it been like...
That's why in the video footage we hear Ashley asking, are the cameras off?
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, it's been so many, like, videos and angles that show that it was premeditated on Ashley's part. Which, think about this, y'all. The fact that this is, like, the second, like, fireable thing that Ashley has done. Because the fact that she's even still allowed on this show when literally her husband was accused of assault and she stood by him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, like, want us to, like, sink that in. Like, this is, like, the second credible, fireable offense for Ashley, yet she's still been allowed to even get this far when her husband is literally a predator and she literally stood beside him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep, yep.
I made the joke about Robin, and I stand by it. They're like, she got fired, but it's like, if there was anybody who deserved to be fired long before this is Ashley, and the fact that she's still on this damn show.
Yeah.
I wonder what they gonna do, because I'm not interested in seeing Giselle and Karen.
Yeah.
And Sharice in them shoulders.
Mm-mm. Sharice is not interesting enough. What I will say is, well, we'll come back to it full circle because I have some thoughts on Mia and Gordon. But I want to say that Kiarna deserves a full-time glass. And not just because she took a glass to the head, but because the way that she was gagging Ashley for somebody who only was on our TV screen for 5 to 10 minutes tops, chef's kiss. As she told Ashley, "Ashley, you are the queen of afterthought apology. After you kick some shit off, then you want to magically apologize." Also, really hope that Wendy's contract is renewed because she earned her spot in this reunion. Because the way that she gagged these women repeatedly, she gagged Karen, Robin, Giselle, Aneka, and fucking Ashley. Because when Andy asks, "What does Osu mean?" and she said, "Well, why don't we ask Ashley since she brought it to this platform?" and Aneka tried to say something, and Wendy told Aneka basically, "Shut the fuck up." She earned her champagne glass right in that moment. To me, it let everybody know that Wendy absolutely will be capable of being HBIC now that Giselle doesn't have a flunky.
Well, I mean, for me, I will say this. This was the energy that I wanted Wendy to have all season. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But in the reunion, she brought it. But my thing is, like, this is the winner that I've been wanting to see. Because, like, and this might be problematic, but fuck it. Ain't nobody gonna beat my ass. Like, none of these women are smarter than Wendy. Like, not a damn one of them. So, like,
the one who is leaving.
Right.
So Candace, like, is the only one who can go toe-to-toe when it comes to intellect and wit and humor and quick-wittedness. My top three, it is Candace, Wendy, and Karen. Nobody can outwit those three.
Yeah. So it's like, this is the Wendy that, like, she needs to lock in and, like, be this Wendy all the time. Because, like, none of these motherfuckers are smarter than you. And, like, you have a way with words. You know what the fuck you're talking about. So, like, lock in. Like, get that wittiness. Get that over the, like, get these insults that's going to go over their heads because they're not smarter than you. Like, lock the fuck in and be this Wendy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to say, for all the shit talking that these women did about Eddie, the Happy Eddie brand made a profit of $2 million.
That shit was so corny. I'm gonna just be honest with you. Like, regardless of how you feel about Eddie, regardless of how you feel about Wendy, that shit was just corny. Like, it wasn't even like a, like, okay, put it like this. It wasn't even a dig that was funny because Eddie is a straight man. Like, it was just corny as fuck.
Yeah. Like, $2 million. You can talk shit as much as you want to when me and my wife are now millionaires. Because you tried to be funny. That should blow smoke up your coochie to know that you tried to joke and tried to shade somebody into being a millionaire. Y'all shaded the Osifos right into millionaire status. Mm. Now House Potomac is just something for Wendy to do if she wants to. Because now their feet are firmly cemented in the legal THC world. And it could only go up. Now that they've established themselves in the flower world, now they can move to edibles. Now they can move to hash. Now they can move to tinctures. Y'all bitches tried to be shady and now look at them.
I mean, they tried to be shady and, like, none of them have anything. Like, so, like, somebody asked on Twitter, like, why does, you know, Giselle and by extension Robin, like, hate Wendy so much? And I quoted the tweet in reply. It's like, the reason, like, and this doesn't just go for Wendy. This can apply to, like, Karen too in them earlier seasons. Giselle and by extension Robin hate anybody who has shit going for themselves outside of the show because they have nothing going for themselves outside of the show. And that could be whether it's business ventures, happy relationships, family, husbands, whatever. Like, Giselle hates anybody that's doing better than her. There's a reason that the only people she gets along with on this show have consistently been Robin and Ashley. Like, there's a reason for that.
In the words of the babysitter from Dennis the Menace, "Don't worry, little locomotive. one day you will be Biggie Nug." The Osifos are now Biggie Nug. they could buy Giselle and Robin because Lord knows the Dixons are unemployed and reasonably shady is not going to be enough to sustain them. Before we go, here's the thing. Wendy, they are so pissy that Wendy don't want to make up with Aneka, and I wouldn't make up with the bitch either. She said we could be cordial. There's no issue. We can move forward. What more do y'all want from Wendy? The first step in being able to establish any type of relationship is acknowledging that y'all could be cordial and move forward. Trying to force them to automatically become best friends because they both Nigerians is fucking weird.
Not only that, it's not like y'all give a damn about a nigga anyway.
And man, I also want to say that Chris Bassett was eating Giselle the fuck up in this reunion. Ate her up and ain't leave no crumbs.
I mean, it's not hard to do.
They was going white woman to white woman.
Once you give your 2-week notice, don't you just wreck shop at work?
They was going white. They was going pink toe to pink toe, and Chris was winning every battle. Because listen, he made a very valid point. In what world do you get to use words like forced you into a room, made you, locked the door, uncomfortable? The implications of being inappropriate were very much there. And I don't care how much Wendy, I don't care how much Robin or Giselle mince words about it or how much social media minces words about it. I'll even ask our legal resident, what are the implications when somebody says he forced me in a room and then locked the door? He made me go in a room and lock the door. What does that read as, Adrian, as somebody who deals with the law? How does that come across?
I mean, force and coercion. So you could, that could be once you take somebody to another location that they don't want to go to, that's kidnapping. If he then locked the door and wouldn't let her leave, that could be false imprisonment. I mean, she implied a lot of crime.
Yeah.
And that's all we've been trying to say to the green-eyed bandit stands. She may not have said he assaulted me or he harmed me, but she implied that he did things against her will. And that is illegal. So when Chris said it's crazy how somebody could make these type of implications and then just come out and be like, oh, I said the wrong word. But every time Candace even sneezes wrong or calls somebody a roach or the help or a maid, everybody want to talk about being held responsible for your words and the things you say. But Giselle said, okay, so I used the wrong word. Okay. And then that's just the end of the conversation. I'm one of the people who thinks that there is not a lot of checks and balances when it comes to Andy and the shows that he is responsible for on Bravo.
Well, absolutely. He absolutely has favorites. And you can tell. Like, they're not hard to see.
There's no checks and balances of what he's allowed to do. We know that he has favorites, and I'm not upset about it. Okay, when it was Real Housewives of Atlanta, NeNe was his favorite. No matter what NeNe said or did, NeNe could do no wrong until she then accused him of being a white dick sucking crackhead. If NeNe would have just took that to her group chat, NeNe probably would be coming back for this season of Real Housewives of Atlanta. But once she made it, once she took their friendship spat public and then got the courts involved, that was the end of the end. But NeNe was his favorite, and she had a lot of problematic views. Okay.
Yeah.
Even when she was like, we didn't forget NeNe tried to do stand up and was making jokes about HIV and shit like that, HIV and AIDS. That didn't get her taken off of Bravo. He has favorites. And I think that comes into play with Giselle. And let me say this. I think the reason Giselle is one of Andy's favorites is because she doesn't care about being a villain, because she was crucified as the first lady of a pastor who was sticking his dick in everything legally and illegally. So behind closed doors, I absolutely believe Giselle is bothered. But in front of those cameras on social media, Giselle doesn't react. She keeps a poker face.
I've seen people like praise Giselle for being unbothered and XYZ. And I'm like, Maybe I need to get my eyes checked because, yeah, I'll give you that, like, on the cameras, at least in the reunions, like when she's called to the carpet, she gives the face of being unbothered. But, like, I'm sorry, but, like, this bitch got a whole ass podcast that nobody listens to where she is very clearly, like, bothered and talks about this shit. Or hell, even the fact that, like, most of her storylines is about her taking revenge on the fact on banking that brave face about her being unbothered. Like, this whole shit that she has with Wendy, like she ain't forgave Pastor Holy Whore yet. Like, she might not say it publicly or put on a face, but she ain't forgave that shit yet. She ain't forgave Wendy for making a comment yet. Like, that's her whole storyline of beef with Wendy, is Wendy
Yeah.
made one comment and read, and she been bothered ever since. So I put, like, I don't, people give Giselle a lot, is basically what I'm trying to say.
I think people give Giselle a lot, but I think the difference is instead of Giselle getting online and having meltdowns like Candace and so on and so forth, she just gets more evil and does more nasty shit that
I agree
makes
with that.
for good TV.
Yeah, I agree with that.
She takes it up a notch, and I think in these two seasons, she went too far. And ultimately, now we're seeing that she has basically dismantled this franchise, this show, to her best friend's detriment. Like, it has even worked against Robin. So I will say that I know everybody is talking about boycott Potomac. And here's the thing, that's performative. You don't need a hashtag to boycott Potomac, just don't fucking watch it.
Yeah, I saw that and I'm like,
Like, come on
I'm
now.
gonna be
If
I'm
you
gonna
want to
I'm gonna
boycott it, why shine a light on it? Because all you're going to do is make people click the hashtag, see what's being talked about, and subsequently, you're going to get them to start watching the reruns.
And not only that, I'm gonna be real and hold on, let me sit up for this because I'm on the couch while we record. Let me sit up for this. I tweeted this and I stand by it. Potomac is not and has not been fun for a while. Part of that is the cast. Part of that is definitely the cast, and manage and production and management, but also part of it is the fans. Like, I'm gonna be real. I'm not saying that some of the shit that we have seen on Potomac is not fucked up and vile. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, we were forged in the fires of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like,
I think Potomac lost the plot similar to when how Atlanta lost the plot. Potomac lost the plot when they allow Giselle, Robin, and Charisse to kind of try and cultivate this storyline about Monique cheating on Chris and that not being his son. Once you allow people to bring kids into it, or once you allow people to introduce sinister plots that kind of imply illegal behavior, how, again, Andy has favorites like Phaedra. Much like Giselle, Phaedra doesn't care about being a villain. She's not afraid to get in front of the camera and be a really nasty, awful bitch, much like Giselle. But that is when Atlanta lost the plot. After that whole Candy and Todd said they was gonna drug and have sex with you, Portia, situation, the plot kind of got lost, and then we start seeing production have a hand in these storylines, and it lost this. I know Adrian gonna hate when I say this. It lost this authenticity. It was no longer
No, it's fine.
authentic. Much like Summer House, like it no longer was authentic. We start seeing production have a hand in these weird ass sinister plots and storylines. And now, how do you come back from it? Because you were supposed to cut it off at the knees,
Yeah.
and they never did. And then Andy never made them. So now here we are.
And it's
Hate
like,
to see it.
yeah, I mean, you hate to see it, but you know, I again, like, to your point, like, you don't have to boycott the shit. Like, don't get, like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Because again, it hasn't been, to me, it hasn't been fun since the Monique shit. Like, after the Monique shit, you could tell a shift in the show, and then it just got it's become what it's become a shell of itself.
Yep.
And now I don't know what the fuck's going on, because at least what we know is confirmed. It's rumored that Aneka isn't coming back. That hasn't been confirmed yet, at least to my knowledge, unless one
No,
of
it
y'all have seen a
hasn't.
tweet. Yeah, unless one of y'all have seen a tweet since we've been recording. We don't know if she's coming back. Honestly, kind of to come back, but that's neither here nor there. We know Robin is gone. Candace is not coming back. So what we you got you want to lock in?
I'm just happy Robin not gonna be there.
Wandering Dixon. Text that to me. I want to see Giselle have to stand on her own without a flunky, and I want to see her. Which that we're gonna wrap it up here. I want to see what's gonna become of her and Mia's relationship, because they have done everything in their power this season to make Mia the belle of the ball, even with this reunion. Gordon announces that he has bipolar 1 disorder and how he had himself, he voluntarily committed himself, and Mia in between the throes of passion with her beau, who she had been fucking on and off for many decades, stepped in to be a support for Gordon and make sure he was okay, and she'll always take care of Gordon no matter if they're together or not. And if he would have gotten a handle on his mental health, Mia would have never left him. And he played a big role in her leaving. It's convenient, especially from a woman who used her mother's addiction as her introductory storyline.
There you go.
I think Gordon has mental health issues? Yes, I do. But I believe those mental health issues have been there for a very long time. What I believe is those mental health issues were more bearable when he had money.
Yeah.
Say it.
Willing to overlook those manic episodes and those depressive spells and issues when she could just swipe his American Express card.
Yeah. Like I'll be problematic for all three of us. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. Cause like, why is this the first time we don't mention it? Why is it so convenient that when, you know, we have lost the Potomac essentially, and we ain't got nobody left but like Giselle, Karen, and fucking Mia, damn near. Why all of a sudden we hearing about Gordon's mental health issues now? Well, all of a sudden we hearing about how like kind of a soul and caring and nurturing Mia is now, when again, like literally, and we were discussing in the pregame, and Candace brought up, like, this is the same motherfucker who used her mama's drug addiction as a goddamn storyline because she ain't have shit else going on.
This is the same bitch who had to acknowledge that she, though, first of all, having a non-monogamous relationship does not mean a dick and pussy free-for-all, okay? There are still some boundaries that couples can set in place, and this guy, this radio disc jockey, DJ, whoever the fuck this nigga is, he was on the no-fly zone, okay? He was on the no-fly zone. Mia started having an affair with him.
Correct.
And subsequently inserted their children into the situation to the point that he believes that Mia's youngest child is his child and not Gordon.
If we talk about mental health, why we ain't talking about the mental health of them kids?
So again, using the people around you's mental health to rebrand yourself from being the gutter snipe that you truly are is quite literally something. A gutter snipe and a liar.
It's like when Ashley tried to rebrand as a good person by having the kids.
And then tried to rebrand as a single mother trying to figure out her next move after divorcing. Which also that now all of a sudden Michael is a narcissist. The same Michael who was sexually assaulting people and talking about sucking Juan Dixon's dick.
Who you went on Fox News to defend that man. I remember that shit.
And was telling people to mind their business. Again, I'm not saying G doesn't have any mental health issues. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is those issues have existed long before now.
It's mighty convenient.
You being nice. We finna cut the bullshit. Mia and Gordon are known for stunts and shows. They tried one last season with Jacqueline until it got a little too hot for Jacqueline. Then they backtracked everything, want to clear up everything from going to making it seem like, oh, they're this thruple and maybe they mess with Jacqueline to not. So they stunt. These are some stunt queens. And that's all. So that's why it seems like this.
Yep.
You didn't bring much this season. This y'all only check. So yep. we got to make it do what it do, baby. Like,
lock in.
I'm going to be pregnant. We're going to have a paternity off. Like,
yeah. Like, Mia and Gordon with this stunt at the reunion have single-handedly secured a contract renewal for next season.
And they did it with something that you can't, if they go into the season and they want to question Gordon about his mental health, it's a very easy out to just be like, you know, that's something that I don't, you know, I don't really want to talk about that. And if you try to press it, you're going to look like an asshole.
And it's illegal. Nobody can legally go trying to fish for Gordon's health records. Nobody can come. Nobody can come forward and say, "Oh, that nigga lying. He wasn't. He didn't have himself committed." And again, I very much believe Gordon has mental health issues. I don't disbelieve that, but I believe that he and Mia sat down and decided when to use it as the big joker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's it. That is not that it's not that they don't the issues don't exist. It's that they are calculated and they calculated when to use them for a stunt, like Adrian said.
Because they used the whole Jacqueline situation, like Adrian said, when it got too much spice in the soup, when they put too much pepper in the soup, then they finally let us in on this whole we have an open marriage storyline. Then the whole open marriage storyline spiraled into, well, the one person I told her she couldn't fuck, she ended up fucking. Then when the whole broke family situation came up, then it was, oh, Gordon do got a mental health problem. And this whole money situation really exacerbated it to the point where he mistreated me and he had to commit himself, but I'm gonna love him forever and make sure he good. Like, again, real events, but calculated when to use them in their favor and for their benefit. And this, again, this stuff at the reunion single-handedly made sure Mia will come back next season because the cameras want to see what's going on with her, Gordon, and this divorce and this three-way love affair with this radio DJ nigga all of a sudden. Not fooling me. You still a gutter snipe. You still the same bitch that put your hands and assaulted Wendy multiple times because you didn't like the words that she was saying.
Because you couldn't
and
understand.
And also, I just want to say, I hope, and Wendy not going to ever get that down in the mud, but if she ever needs to, baby, please bring up the fact that this bitch was in cahoots with Peter, who is millions and millions of dollars in debt and being sued from the rooter to the goddamn tutor. You didn't invest with Peter because you invested in marijuana and look what the payoff turned out to be. Whole time Peter is being looked for. He being sued every which goddamn way. Mm-mm, baby. You what Nene can't say, you can't win when you're dirty. Can't win when you're dirty. But I'm not going to say that I'm not going to watch season 9. I may check it out. And if it seems good enough, if I like how they recast it, we may cover it, but as of now, a lot of the things that they did and a lot of the reactions to shit that happened left a sour taste in my mouth. If I'm Kiana, I'm pressing charges on Deborah, if possible. But she did put them paws on her, so I don't know if she can. But at the very least, Ashley shouldn't be brought back around. If you're going to recast, recast completely, okay? Stick with your two OGs. Recast around Karen and Giselle and call it a day.
I mean,
go ahead, Jeremy.
For me, and like I said this on Twitter, I've said it on here, and this is my thing. If like what do whatever you can or whatever you need to do to make the shit fun, because that's my biggest thing. Like all of these motherfuckers are terrible. Like we can start and end there. Some more than others, depending on your principles and you know how you feel about it. But all of these motherfuckers are terrible. But at least make the shit fun and entertaining. And it has not been that for a long time now. So whatever you got to do, whatever shuffling of the deck or, you know, whatever you got to do, if you can make it fun and entertaining, I'm in. But if it's the same shit that it's been for quite some time now, I'm out. That's all I got.
Yeah.
I agree.
When we come back in 2 weeks, I think we will talk about Summer House. Love and Marriage Huntsville will be back on the 4th of May.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They got a trailer, or they just said they'd be back?
They haven't released the full trailer yet. So when they come, but when we come back in 2 weeks, we're finally gonna get into Quiet on the Set.
True.
Because my God, that shit made my stomach turn. It was really hard to watch, if I could be honest.
Yeah, not for.
Like it was hard to watch. It was really hard to watch.
Dan Schneider, you going to hell?
He need to be going to jail.
Why not both?
He needs to go to fucking jail. What a awful human fucking being.
I wanted to say something else, but I don't want to get us surveillanced.
I mean, fuck it. Say it.
Someone needs to maybe unalive
For sure.
all outside.
For sure. Now it's gonna take a lot of bullets, you big bitch, but
Because my
do
God.
it. Yeah. Awful human beings.
Despicable.
Awful. Parents is awful too.
Drake Bell mama need her ass beat, and I don't care.
Hey, lock in,
Sorry, I'm
Avery.
sorry.
Lock
I'm
in.
sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm usually very sympathetic to parents, but she need her ass beat.
Yep.
Terrible human being.
With a bag of nickels.
Soap and a sock.
Yep. A wet sock.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So we finally gonna get to our docuseries in the next 2 weeks because it's gonna be pretty quiet on the home front until then. So we really get to dive deep and be sure to subscribe to the Patreon where we are wrapping up Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and Miami, and Love During Lockup is back in the lineup 2 weeks from now as well. So you don't want to miss that because they are finally giving us our first male gay couple.
True.
So you want to be around for that, and hopefully they can make it to Love After Lockup and Life After Lockup. But that is it. We thank y'all for tuning in. Like I said, we came to y'all on a Monday because Sundays we be tired and wanting our day of rest to ourselves sometimes.
Even Jesus rested.
Hello. But we'll be back in 2 weeks. We thank y'all for supporting us and tuning in.